Amen. Praise the Lord for the special music tonight and just for His presence in this place. It's just every time you come through the doors of Lighthouse Baptist Church, I trust you sense God's presence in this place. That's how we pray, that God would just allow this church to be a refuge for, first and foremost, for all of the members of this church. When you come, it's just Lord knows what you have need of, and you're able to have your needs ministered to as you come to church. And then for whoever would come through the doors of the church, whether it be for one visit or for many visits, that they would also sense God's presence and God would have a message for them as well. Genesis chapter 8. Genesis chapter 8. Wednesday night, our Bible study, we've been going through and studying on the life of Noah. The life of Noah. And so a study on the life of Noah is actually a study of the great flood. And as we've been studying what the Bible gives us concerning the great flood, then it reveals some things about the pre-flood civilization. And we learned that there was almost 1,700 years of pre-flood civilization. And so when God destroyed the world as with the flood, then there was many that perished in that civilization. And of course, God records it all for us, and we've studied much of that. And it's all, God has recorded for us everything we have need to know about the eternity past, present, and future. And so we understand that there's a lot we've learned from understanding how God and why God judged the earth and why and how he judged it through the great flood. And so, but the story of the life of Noah, we've been able to learn much about that. Last week, we studied chapter 8. We're in chapter 8 now. Now the flood has come, and now the water was taken away. And we find here in Genesis chapter 8, verses 1 through 14 is what we studied last week. And we looked at Noah's patience in waiting. He was on the ark for 1 year and 10 days. That's how long it took for God to, first of all, bring the flood on the earth. And from sea level, the waters would have been 3 to 4 miles high. Upon the face of the earth, we studied how what the Bible says about all that was taking place. The highest of the mountains was covered by 22 feet. And so understanding of the sea level and everything else, we looked at that and learned a lot from that. And of course, the ark that God had Noah to build had no navigational equipment on it. It was just built to float. And as it was built to float, it was God who had put His protective hand upon the ark. And as long as Noah stayed in the ark, he was protected against the great flood and all that took place during that time. So he was on the ark for 1 year and 10 days. Even after the water started descending, he looked out and was able to see some dry land. He stayed on the ark. He continued to stay on the ark when he let the birds out. We talked about the birds last week, the raven and then the dove, and what took place there and the reason for that. But he stayed put on the ark, even though the dove come back with a plant in its mouth. But he stayed on the ark until he would hear from God. And that's important to understand that, because we need to stay put and not to do something foolish, act foolishly before you hear from God. And to just keep doing what you know God wants you to do until God tells you to do something else. And what a great thought that was. And he just kept the faith, kept the faith. Well, tonight we'll be looking at verse 14 and then read down to verse 22, Genesis chapter 8, because now he will hear from God and now he'll know what he is to do. And so we'll be studying this tonight, Genesis chapter 8, verse 14 down to verse 22. Go ahead and stand with me. We'll read the Word of God together this evening. Are you ready to receive something from the Lord tonight? This is Wednesday night, and I know that it's been a few days since Sunday, and there's been a lot of spiritual battles already being fought. Who knows just what each one here has fought over the last few days, but you made it to church on Wednesday night, and you made it to the place of refuge that God has for us, His church, and that's half the battle. You hear me say that often. That's only half the battle. The other half of the battle is to get plugged into what God has for you. In order to do that, you got to put everything else out of your mind. And no matter what it is, no matter how important you think it is, the most important thing for all of us right now is just sit at the foot of the cross and let Christ minister to us through the Word of God. Amen? And so I trust that you're ready and willing to do just that. Genesis chapter 8, verse 14. And the second month, on the 7th and 20th day of the month, was the earth dried. Okay, now this is, it's important that God gives us these dates because that's how we know it was 1 year and 10 days. 1 year and 10 days. And then God spoke. And God spake unto Noah. For a year and 10 days, he had not spoke to Noah. For a year and 10 days, all that had taken place, Noah just by faith just continued to stay on the ark by faith, trusting that God would deliver them. And God spake unto Noah, saying, go forth of the ark, thou and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. Bring forth with thee every living thing that is with thee of all flesh, both of fowl and of cattle and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, that they may breed abundantly in the earth and be fruitful and multiply upon the earth. And Noah went forth, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him. Every beast, every creeping thing, every fowl, whatsoever creepeth upon the earth after their kinds went forth out of the ark. And Noah builded an ark unto the, and Noah builded an altar unto the Lord and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl and offered burnt offerings on the altar. The first mention of the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more everything living as I have done. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. Now let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we do come before you again tonight, Lord, thank you for each one that's here. And Lord, I know that you know exactly what's going on in each one of our lives. And we're here tonight just to sit at the foot of the cross and be fed the spiritual truths and the word that you have for us. And I pray, God, that you would again anoint the preaching of thy word and give each one here that ear to hear what you have for them. For this we ask in Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. For a year and 10 days, he's on the ark. He has God's commandments from what God had told him to do and just get on the ark. I mean, it was completed. God sealed him into the ark, and from that point, he would have experienced the great flood and all the destruction on planet Earth as it was being flooded by this the three types of waters. We studied that. The waters from underneath came out. The rains of the clouds and also the firmament, the heaven actually opened up, and the waters came down from the firmament to flood the earth, as what the Bible records us. And so all this time, Noah, through all of this, just continued to be faithful, trusting God, knowing that he was safe as long as he stayed in the ark. And what a great message that is to understand that, because that's true for us today as well. Just stay where God's planted you in the will of God, and nothing can happen to you in God, if you're in God's perfect will that God does not allow. And if God allows it, it is something for something good to come out of it. And so Noah's instructions come. And so the first thing we find here is that Noah now, he heard from God. Verse 14 down to verse 17, it tells us the exact time that it happened so that we'll know how long he was on the ark. And then the Bible says, and God spake unto Noah. Until then, there was no further instructions were needed. When Noah got on the ark, he was instructed. He heard the voice of God. God told him when to get on the ark. God had been telling him everything to do in preparing for the great flood. Once he got on the ark, Noah would not hear from God again for another year and 10 days because there was no further instructions. He was just to be faithful to do what God had told him to do during that time. What was he supposed to do? If you look back to Genesis in chapter 7 and verse 3, the purpose for the ark, in verse 3 it says, and he's talking about all that he has put on the ark, and he says, the fowls also of the air by sevens, the male and the female, and this is it, to keep seed alive upon the face of all the earth. Everything else on the face of the earth would be destroyed. All animals, every living thing outside of what was in the seas would die. And the only way to keep seed alive was for God to place them in the ark with God's hand upon it. And so for a year and 10 days, Noah's instructions, as per the will of God, was to keep seed alive while he was on the ark. No further need of any other instructions, because that's all that God would have him to do. We mentioned last week that God has given to us the very words of God, the Bible. And that's God's full revelation to man. Amen. This is all we need to know of God's will for our lives. And we're to continue to live by the Word of God and keep the Word of God until further instructions are necessary. Amen. This, during this church age, we know exactly what God would have us to do. Acts in chapter 1, look over there with me. Acts chapter 1, we know that God is the same today as he was yesterday, will be forevermore. God is unchangeable, he's immutable. And so when you learn about something about how God works, you realize he will always work that way. It is always he does not change, he's always the same. And so in Acts in chapter 1, we find here with Jesus Christ, after he came establishing this New Testament church age, New Testament church age, and then he addressed the apostles for 40 days after the resurrection, instructing them on the New Testament church. And then right before he would ascend into heaven, we find Acts chapter 1, verse 6. The Bible says, "When they therefore were come together, they asked of him," this was before his ascension, now we'll talk of his ascension just a few verses later here, "but said they, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel?" They had questions concerning the future. They wanted God to tell them more than what he had already told them. They wanted to understand more. And he said unto them, "It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power." What they're saying is, "Lord, we want to know more than what you've already revealed to us." I guarantee you that Noah would have wanted to have more insight. He wanted to know more than what God had revealed to him while he was in the ark for that year and 10 days. He would have loved to understood that more about just how long he was going to be in the ark. God didn't tell him how long he'd be in the ark. No doubt he would have liked to have had more information, but God would tell Noah the same thing. Until you have need of more instructions, just do what I've told you to do. Amen. Just live by the insight and the understanding that I've given you up to this point. And so we find that mankind is somewhat the same. God created Adam with age. And Adam was created and had the very same brain that you and I have. Had the very same physical makeup that you and I have. He was created with age. And he was created after the fall. He had this sin nature. And all of us are born with that sin nature. And so humanity has always been the same. They're the same today. I've had the privilege to go to several missions fields around the world, thinking that people would be different. And yet, there might be a little difference in the size and shapes and the colors, but can I tell you, they're all the same. Humanity is all the same. You go to different churches, you know what? You'll find the same types of people in every church. As I have opportunities going, even preaching different churches here in America, it's just me and my wife usually get tickled by this, because we'll get to learn some of the people and what they do, and we'll say, "Oh, yeah, that's Kelly right there, you know, and that's Brother Lonnie over there." And we would just the types of people, and praise the Lord for them, but people are the same. They are. And so we find here in even the book of Acts, the apostles, as Jesus was instructing them, they had this very same curiosity that Noah would have had in the ark and that we have today. And he just simply said to them, "It's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power." And then he says this, and this is the verse that most all of us would be able to quote, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." He said, "This is my instructions for you. I know you want to understand more. You want to know more about the times and the dates and all the different things. That's not for you to know right now, but I will give you instructions, and I want you to continue with the instructions that I've given to you until it's time for Some more instructions. Right after this, we find that Jesus ascended to heaven. And he left them with these final instructions, the final instruction for this New Testament church age, for the church, which is instructions for every born-again believer, is that you have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and he's there to empower you to be a witness for Christ, for you to go out and tell others about Jesus Christ, for the church as a whole to be able to reach the world with the gospel. That's why we have missionaries, and that's why we support Missions Month, and that's why we have soul-winning endeavors here at the church. Why? Because it's exactly the instructions that Christ has left for the church for this entire church age. That hadn't changed. It will not change. Now, churches are changing. Society is changing. But the will of God has not changed. The instructions that the Lord Jesus Christ gave his church will not change. We are to just be faithful to following those instructions until it's time for more instruction. And that'll take place after the rapture, as we'll meet with the Lord. And what a blessing that's going to be for the church. And all the different things will be understood at that point, and the judgment seat of Christ and all the things that will take place there. But we find here that Noah in the ark had not heard from God, but now he hears from God because it's time to move on. Need to keep doing what God's instructed us to do until we receive further instructions. If you're in the military, you learn that. Amen. You want to know everything about it all that, no, you just do what we tell you to do. When it's time for you to know where you're going from here, we'll tell you. Just be dedicated upon doing what you know you're instructed to do now. Amen. Yeah. Can I tell you, in life, we have many things to do just to keep living. We have to work. We can't sit back and say, Lord, all right, just give me money from heaven. Lord, just let money fall out of the sky here so that I'll be able to pay the bills and be able to do this and that. No, we have much to do just to be able to keep alive. The Bible even tells us if we do not work, if we become slothful and we do not have a desire to work, you shouldn't eat. Because God's given us instructions to do what it takes to live. And in every generation, there's been different types of things going on and different things we have to do to be able to live. We have to work. We have to maintain our bodies. If I'm going to continue to live, I've got to maintain my body. I've got to understand what I need to do to maintain health. This is something we do every day. We eat. It's something we have to do to maintain life. You have to work. To maintain life, you have to eat. Maintain life, you have to maintain a home. Yeah, I've got to cut grass. I've got to take out garbage. I've got to do my part, my chores around the house. My wife has her choice. When we had the kids in, it was easier because they did a lot of those things. You know, now it's just us. We have to divide it between two. Yeah, if you have four or five children, praise the Lord for you. You can divide it up even more. But everybody has their responsibilities. Why? Because that's just what we have to do to live. You have to work, you have to take care of your health, you have to eat, you have to maintain a home, you have to maintain a car in the age we live in. I mean, you have to have a transportation, so you have to maintain a car, and sometimes that becomes hard to do, especially if you have an older car that's always breaking down or whatever, and you have to maintain that. It seems like you got more money going out in maintenance than you have coming in from time to time, but you have to do it. Why? I've got to live. Got to have a car to make it to work, to make money, to be able to live, to buy food, to be able to maintain a home. We have education. We have to make sure that our children are educated. We have to make sure that they go off to college. We have to do what? You have to. So what am I saying here? We have to keep living. But as believers, we must never lose sight of God's work. If you go back, you find that he told Noah, he said, what I got you in the ark to do? He said, to keep seed alive. For a year and 10 days, he was on that ark with all the animals, all the creeping things, and Noah was charged with keeping everything alive. I remember staying with Ron June before I got married, and I was there, and I had an aquarium and had all kind of fish in it, and I decided I was going to leave for a couple weeks and didn't think about maintaining the aquarium. And I come home after a leave of absence, and of course, they didn't even realize it either, but I come home, and all the fish were floating on the top, bloated and everything. I didn't keep them alive. Noah would have had his hands full, even with the children's help, of keeping everything alive, keeping seed alive on the ark. I believe that year and 10 days went forth pretty fast. There was a lot of scary moments, no doubt. There was a lot of difficult times, but he was so busy that I believe it went by pretty fast. The busier you are, the faster time flies. Have you ever noticed that? Now, God could have done something miraculously to keep him alive. He could have, but that's not. He knew Noah and his family would be on the ark, and he says, what I want you to keep seed alive. You have to feed them. You have to take care of them. You have to do whatever it needs to do to keep seed alive. And as far as we know, none of them died. None of his children died. None of his family died. They all were kept alive on the ark. What I'm saying there's a lot of other things we have to do. Everyone does on a regular basis. But don't lose sight of God's instructions. Amen. The work of the church is what's most important. God keeps us alive to keep the church alive. Amen. I believe God provides work for us so that we can provide the finances for the church. Part of the reason God is going to take care of his church, and he's going to work through the membership that he has planted, and he can keep the membership. He can provide for the membership that will provide for the church, that will do the work that God's called us to do. Listen to me. That is what we're to do, is keep the commandments. Keep doing what God has instructed us to do. Yes, there's a lot of other things in life that we have to do. If we're going to keep alive, if we're going to stay alive, we have to do these things. But we do not lose sight of the most important, the reason we have life, and that is to do the work that God's called us to do, every one of us. Wow. If you'll do that, can I tell you that God will enable us to do it? In Philippians in chapter 1, let me just read it to you, a couple verses here before we move on. But Philippians in chapter 1, and verse 6, it says this, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Amen. He'll continue to enable you to do the work that he's called you to do until the rapture of the church. That's what he says. Because that's why we're here. 2 Thessalonians in chapter 3 and verse 3. Let me just read this to you as well. 2 Thessalonians 3:3 says this, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. If we do not lose sight of doing what God has called us to do and following the instructions that God has given us, listen to me, God will enable us to continue to get it done. It's when we allow life to take priority over God. And we put God's work on the back burners and just focus on us. It's when you'll find that you'll not have the promise of God to sustain you. That you'll lose sight of God's protection. You'll lose sight of God's blessings and provisions. Because you've lost sight of God's instructions. Amen. What? I mean, Noah. We learn this about Noah, and in learning this about Noah, we learn about God, and then we look at what Jesus instructed us, and it's the very same thing. Very same principle. So Noah heard from God. He was just doing what God told him to do the whole time in between hearing from God, keeping everything alive. He had his hands full. Noah obeys God's instructions, the second instruction. Now he comes back. Go back there with me. Look back. Genesis chapter 8. Noah had obeyed the first set of instructions, and now God says, all right, ready for the second set of instructions. Verse 18 and 19. And Noah went forth. The second set of instructions is God spake unto Noah, saying, go forth of the ark. And Noah went forth, and his sons, and his wife, and his sons' wives with him, in the order that God told him to do this. He took them out of the ark, and every beast, every creeping thing, every fowl, whatsoever creepeth on the earth after their kind, went forth out of the ark. It was now time to move on. No one stayed on the ark. It was not their house any longer. They were not to stay there. They were to move on. They're on top of a mountain, Mount Ararat. Wasn't God's will for them to stay there? Leave the ark now, Noah. But Lord, it's been our protection for a year now. And we never know, is the waters might rise again. We better stay close. Have you ever been through a flood? You ever had your basement flood? We had that one time. And then it seems like every other night I'd go down there to make sure the sump pump was working. That's what happened. The sump pump stopped working, and the sump pump stops working. The water is not carried out of the basement, and before you know it, the basement is filled up with water. And it's my fault because I didn't realize that you're supposed to change the sump pump every so often. I just thought, well, it's a lifetime. It's always going to work. Well, no, if you're going to be wise about every 5 to 7 years, if not earlier, sooner than that, you ought to be changing the sump pump before it goes out. But I didn't know that. First time I had a house that had a basement, and so I just thought it would last forever. And it lasted for 10 years, praise the Lord. That was a good time. 10 years for a sump pump that has a 3-year warranty on it. That's doing pretty good. But I didn't even know that. But then it went out, and it got my attention because I went downstairs, and the basement is full of water. And I knew of what all the work it took to undo that. And then after I did all the work to undo what the flood had done, the water damage it did, then every other night I'd wake up in the middle of the night thinking, it's raining. I better go down and check the sump pump. Can you imagine? Yes. Noah was the same as I am. And no doubt many of you here tonight, if you've had that experience, you're doing the very same things. Why? Because it's human nature. And Noah's thinking, we can't leave. The waters might come back. We better stay here close. I spent all that time building this ark. I can't leave this ark. It's my whole life's work. But God said, Noah, it's time to move on. The ark's done its job. I've got more for you to do. You're going to be replenishing the earth. Noah obeys God's instructions. Everything on earth would be different. Earth would not be a place of paradise. He would have looked around and seen the destruction. The earth was changed during that flood. Everything had changed. Nothing was the same as it was before. And now I've got to go out into this earth that I don't know anything about. Got to start anew. A new beginning. New beginnings can be scary. I've witnessed it with high schoolers. They're always confident and somewhat overconfident until that senior year, and they realize, whoa, high school's just about over. I've got decisions to make now. Life is real. I've got a decision made about my career, about college, about marriage, and about this and that and all the different things. And life begins to be a little scary, especially if you start getting ready to graduate from college. And you might not have found that mate for life yet. And you think, Lord, am I going to be single the rest of my life? And life can become scary. You might hear you got cancer. How am I going to make it? Life can become scary. You might lose a loved one. Mom and dad passes away. They're not going to live forever. Now I've got to live this world and this life without being able to call mom, be able to call dad. Life can become scary. Amen. Yeah. Can you imagine Noah coming off there and the whole world has changed now? The flood had done the devastation. It was not a place of paradise. Now he's got to go out into this vast earth being the only human beings. No one to call. No McDonald's on the store on the side of the street. Could be very scary. Would have been very scary outside of knowing God. Outside of knowing if God instructed me to do it, then God will provide a way for me to get it done. Outside of knowing that God makes no mistakes. Outside of knowing that everything that happens, happens for a purpose to those who love God, called according to His purpose. The only thing that's going to take the scariness away is your faith in God and reliance upon Him. Israel leaving Egypt, remember that? A new beginning. But it's going to be wilderness. I don't think they understood what wilderness really meant. Wilderness. Nothing. Exodus chapter 15. I want you to see this. Exodus chapter 15. Verse 22. They got out there and realized, wait a minute. There's no water spigots out here. There's no fruit trees here. There's no whatever it might have been they were used to in Egypt. It's totally different. But God's given us instructions to leave Egypt. Go to the promised land, but before you get there, you're going to have 40 years at least in the wilderness. So Moses brought Israel, verse 22, Exodus chapter 15. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. Wait a minute. How? This desert wilderness, and we'd have no water. We could die out here. I think they started seeing things as being a little scary, even though they knew that they were following God's instructions. It was different. When they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink? What have you done to us?" Always want to blame it on leadership. Amen. Amen. And he cried to the Lord, because Moses had learned to trust in God. Realize if God told us to do it, He'd supply our needs. He'll make a way for it. And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them. And look in verse 26, says this, and said, "If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God," listen, if you'll look to God and do what he instructs you to do, "and will do that which is right in His sight, and will give ear to His commandments, and keep all His statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee." But what was the contingency? Follow my instructions. Yeah, you're going to have other things that you have to do. You have to keep alive. There's a lot of things, other responsibilities. Some have more than others. Some have a harder time staying alive than others. But all of us have the commandment and the instruction of the reason we're here in this new church age is to reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. America's lost sight of that because America's churches have lost sight of that. Not following the instructions of God. Can I tell you, it's the same for us when we get saved. It's scary to sometimes have to be walk away from family because of our beliefs. Sometimes it's scary to have to lose friendships because they want to live one way and God has instructed you to live another way. But the Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are past. Behold, all things are become new. New is not always paradise. A new beginning can be scary. It can be. But the Bible says God knows our needs. And He'll meet the needs. Matter of fact, Matthew chapter 6 and verse 32, let me read that to you. Write it down. It's a powerful passage of Scripture. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 32, it says this, for after all those things do the Gentiles seek. But He says, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. Supplies, food, drink, clothing, roof over your head. If you're going to keep alive, you're going to have these things. But He says, don't put that first. Don't serve things. God knows what you have need of in this life. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. What is right in God's eyes, His instructions. And all these things shall be added unto you. Imagine Noah and his family, taking his family out off the ark, now having to leave the safety of the ark because God told him to. The world would be a very scary place. But he was dependent upon God. And the one thing that he knew was, I'm following God's instructions. No matter what anyone else does, no matter what you have to face in life, listen to me, if you, within your heart, you truly know who God is, and you know you're following His instructions, there's a peace that'll come over you that passeth all understanding. There is a grace that God can give you to handle whatever comes your way. And there is provisions will always be there to enable you to do what God's called you to do. We don't have time to go any farther, but we'll pick this up next week. But Noah's first voluntary act afterwards, let me just share that with you and we're done here tonight. Now he's coming off the ark. It's a very scary thing, but he's following God's instructions. And the Bible says this, and Noah, he doesn't find God instructing him to do this. This is voluntary, but he knew this is the right thing to do. And Noah builded an altar unto the Lord and took every clean beast and every clean fowl and offered burnt offerings on the altar. Amen. Noah's first voluntary act was he establishes a place of worship for he and his family. Amen. To help him and his family realize we're not on this earth all by ourselves. Amen. We're not here alone. God is with us. As long as we're with God, following His instructions, God will provide. God will make a way. Let's not lose sight of God's instructions. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed.